With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and with me as ever is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
Hello, David. And hello to our listeners. And any strange noises in the background, there's a 90% chance they're made by Buddy the dog.
Yeah, and a 10% chance.
I'd say there's a 7% chance they're made by me, and a 3% chance they're made... 2% by you, and 1% by otherworldly forces.
Yeah, ghosts.
Well, or aliens.
Ghosts or aliens, yeah. This is a podcast about films for the uninitiated. So we're going to talk to you about films old and new. You actually went to a sort of one-off specially screening recently, didn't you, Mark?
Yeah, we recorded our last podcast before the horrific week for British culture, cultural figures.
Yeah.
I.e. the really sad deaths of David Bowie and Alan Rickman. And probably, judging by the way it's going, by the time this comes out on Friday, there'll be at least another 10.
Another 10 or 12. Yeah, it's been a terrible year.
But I went to... I was a big fan of David Bowie growing up. And then I also was a big fan of Labyrinth as well, which a lot of hardcore Bowie fans poo-poo is sort of a kids thing. But I think it's brilliant.
The thing is, I think, you know, if you're into David Bowie, really, you should be into his music. But it's a fantastic performance. And I think what Labyrinth did is it was a gateway to a lot of kids then getting into his music, because he was already so prominent in their minds from their childhoods.
Yeah. I went to a late-night screening of Labyrinth, which the Picture House Crouch End did, fast becoming my favourite cinema. All proceeds go into a North London hospice, which I thought was really great. I really enjoyed it. It was really nice seeing an old film at the cinema. It's just quite, and everyone there was really well behaved and polite, and sort of dancing in their seats when the magic dance come on, and chilly down when the fire gang. Do you know that one?
With the fire gang.
I love that
Danny
song.
John Jules.
Yes, he was
Red
the voice
Dwarf
there.
Is one of the fire gang. I went to a masquerade ball screening of Labyrinth a number of years ago.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was good fun. It was good fun.
That would be a good secret cinema one to do, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be fantastic.
They probably will now. They'll probably do that all in Alan Rickman one.
Yeah.
Of course, Alan Rickman as well. Just two. I mean, it's odd. I think they were such a shock, those two, because they were still creative.
And relatively young, you know, 69, both of them. But, I mean, David Bowie's film career is quite interesting. Starting, really, with The Man Who Fell to Earth, the Nicholas Roeg film. Have you seen that?
I've only ever seen bits of it.
It's absolutely stunning. It's sort of, it is like a dream, and, it, you know, it's Nicholas Roeg amongst his best. But I heard an interview with David Bowie recently. I mean, lots of old interviews have been re-released and on telly and radio and stuff. And he was saying how he was completely out of it whilst filming it, but he was well behaved. You know, he turned up on time. And Nick Smoke would just say, "Okay, look left, look right. Okay, walk out the door."
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was just, you get this very dreamlike quality because he's just got a presence.
I think that's the thing you've got to say. Why are those two so popular? Is they've got that charisma that no one else. They're totally unique and really charismatic figures. And you've got to say that.
And Rickman was funny. Rickman was so
brilliant.
Funny.
But I truly madly deeply, I think, is other than the annoying bloke, spoilers at the end,
Well, during the whole thing, that annoying black. I mean,
I love that film. It was great.
So do I. You sort of do want her to kill herself and end up with Rickman playing his cello again.
Yeah.
It's no, Truly Madly Deeply is wonderful. I mean, his film debut was Die Hard in his 40s.
That gives us hope, David.
It does. It really does. But I rewatched Galaxy Quest recently.
It's good, isn't it?
It's such a good film. It's underrated. It's because it's daft, and it almost belongs in the 80s as a high concept
thing.
It's sort
of half comedy, half. It's not ever.
It's still loving of its source material. It is a comedy whilst not taking the piss out of fans of Star Trek, which is what it's about.
I always think the comedy's got a storyline that holds together.
Yeah, totally. And him as Dr. Lazarus, well, the actor who plays Dr. Lazarus, is just the withering looks he gives. It's just superb. And it's a completely different comic character to, say, the Sheriff of Nottingham in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, that I loved when I was a kid. And he is ripping the scenery apart in that one. But it's great. It works, you know? It's great. It's a tragic loss, really. David Bowie mostly remembered for his cameos in things, I would have thought, in terms of film, and Labyrinth, of course.
But both just totally unique. I was watching him in Labyrinth, and I just thought, you don't have to do anything. Same with Alan Rickman, you just have to talk. Both of their voices as well, the tone of their voices, are both beautiful voices to listen to. A lot like...
Ours.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I'm a lot like Alan Rickman.
I'm a lot David Bowie.
David Bowie. They'll be sorely missed. I'm actually doing a benefit concert. Used to do a show called Karaoke Circus. It's been about 3.5 years now, but it's live band karaoke where invited comedians come and sing, but then members of the audience can get up and sing as well. And we're doing Bowie-Oke Circus on the 11th of February.
What comedians are going?
We're not allowed to say. It's always kept a secret, so people aren't buying tickets to see one person. They're coming for the event itself.
Well, but you can tell me afterwards, right?
I can tell you afterwards, yeah. But that's on the 11th of February, and it's at Bethnal Green Working Men's Club, and it's going to be a really fun night. And all proceeds from that are going to cancer research.
So. Okay, well, let's thank you, David Bowie, Alan Rickman, for your cinematic contributions.
Thank you, Marek.
And arts contributions
and arts ones too, Marek. You've been to the cinema this week.
Yes, I have, and you were right about the Hateful Eight. Because you said, you said it wasn't being shown at the Picture House.
That's
and,
right, yeah.
It only been shown at some big, because it's filmed in 70mm or something like that. 70mm,
yeah, which is twice the normal mil.
Double mil. So I was very much looking forward to this. I heard good things about it before it was released. What is Hateful Eight about? It's based Kurt Russell. I can't remember the name of his character.
That's all right, he's Kurt Russell.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing with... a little bit with Tarantino, is that he uses the same actors so often.
Yeah. Asks for the same performance from them.
Yeah.
Although, that said, Samuel L. Jackson does have a very different performance in Django Unchained.
Yes, you're right. I was going to make that point.
Sorry.
No, but I think it's a really good point, so well done. Kurt Russell plays Sean...
Thanks.
John Reith, and he's like a bounty hunter. This is set in the Wild West days. I don't know when it is, 18 something or other. And he's transporting Jennifer Jason Leigh, who's playing Daisy Domergue, to the town to stand for trial. So they get, and he always likes to transport people alive rather than killing them. So
that's
they
his
face,
thing.
Yeah, that's his.
When it says dead or alive, he prefers alive.
On the way, he bumps into some people.
At a lodge in the snow.
Where it's snowing, so he finds a couple of stranded people who join him in his carriage, or whatever you might call it.
Yeah, what do you call that?
Trap.
In your trap, yeah, okay. They just get in his carriage.
Yeah,
They don't travel in convoy.
No. Okay. They join him, and he ends up, because the weather's so bad, they have to stop at a lodge. And that's where... I'll leave it plot-wise.
Now, it sounds like a bottle episode, largely. Is the whole thing set in that lodge, pretty much, after that initial thing you've described?
I would describe this I do not think this is any. People say this is a genius film. I can't understand why it's up there.
Really?
Tarantino's greats. It's just my favourite. I said this before countless times. I think Tarantino is a brilliant director of scenes. I always use Inglourious Basterds. Like, I love the first scene in Inglourious Basterds.
Incredible scene.
And the scene in the bar scene are two of my favourite ever scenes.
I mean, but those are the ones that are the most, like, plays. But even, and that's what people have said about Hateful Eight, is, again, it's like a play.
Well, the good thing about Pulp Fiction, he sort of made the sort of genre like a three. He sort of got it to be almost like scenes within a film.
Yes.
And managed to get together, having that whole three-part thing really suited his style of filmmaking. It seems to me lately that he loves the Mexican standoff. He loves that sort of, characters in a shootout thing, is just to get to that point.
Well, he loves tension in a small space, but he loves that tension being provided mostly by guns and eyes.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. I just don't think this film was about 3 hours long. I almost fell asleep in the part of it. The build up, it's 187 minutes long.
Yeah,
the build up is far too slow. The characters are playing people like Samuel Jackson. It's just thinking, oh, I've seen you do this 100 times before. Yeah. And I'm not really. All you're doing is just graffitiing or spoiling your previous performances by repeating the sort of slightly worse echoes of your great performance in Pulp Fiction.
Mm.
Jennifer Jason Leigh's brilliant. I mean, the acting.
And he's not used her before, has he?
Yeah, but I don't know why he uses these same people. He always uses Tim Roth. He always uses, you know.
Tim Roth seems to be doing something different in this one, though, from the trailer,
at least.
He's at least doing a voice.
Yeah, Michael Madsen, he's sort of doing.
Yeah.
It just feels like, don't use these same characters if you want to make it feel like a different film.
Tarantino, I've read, is talking about adapting Hateful Eight for the stage.
Yeah, it's a play, but it's just not. It just feels like it's one scene.
Right.
It feels like it's a half an hour program that you could have made into. But I don't know what he's doing.
Right. I mean, he did something similar in Django Unchained. I mean, the dining room scene in Django Unchained is very long.
Yeah.
And too long, in my opinion. It didn't feel exciting, or, you know. Like, oh, it keeps going. It goes over here, then it goes over here. What's going to happen? I was a bit bored by that scene as well. But you're right. I mean, Inglourious Basterds has the best examples of this, and Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
But the others, where he's tried this, of, you know.
Yeah, some of the characters, or some of the performances, are just pantomime performances where you think, are you playing this for comedy?
Mm.
And he does that a bit, sort of that, and that sort.
Yeah, he's always had that sort of heightened comic book aesthetic.
Yeah.
But I think it's a difficult line to tread without getting rid of any true jeopardy and tension in your piece.
Mm.
And I think he treads it perfectly, or rather his ensemble tread it perfectly in Inglourious Basterds. That first scene is quite comic in Inglourious Basterds,
yeah.
Because we'd never seen Christoph Waltz before. And so his whole smiling villain was brilliant. Now, I think Christoph Waltz has had less impact with every subsequent role because he's done the same thing again and again. But that first time we saw it, he's so good as that character. And you're terrified of him because you do not know what he's capable of.
I think if this was unknown actors, it would have a bigger, much bigger impact. But you've seen all these performances before.
Yes.
You've seen this. You've seen the sort of gnarly Kurt Russell. We know what we can do. You know, we've definitely seen the Samuel Jackson thing before. It feels like we've seen the Tim Roth and the Michael Madsen thing before. You know, I think he's got really loose with his filmmaking.
Yeah.
That tightness of his early films seems to be getting more and more sloppy, and they're long. You know,
they do seem to be longer.
And look. 180 minutes for a bottle episode.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
It's just too much. Maybe he wants to make it feel claustrophobic, but I didn't come away thinking... Well,
but the story needs to warrant that length, you know?
Yeah.
If it could be done shorter, it probably should be.
He's still good. I'm only being critical because I think he's a genius filmmaker. He's really shaking things up, but I just, with Django Unchained, you know, that felt sloppy and loose.
Yeah.
And nothing, I thought, I've sort of seen a lot of these things before.
Yeah, yeah.
I like him, I think he's creative enough to think of something new. Like Jackie Brown, I really enjoyed.
I like Jackie Brown.
And that grows on you the more you watch it.
I think Jackie Brown suffered from the fact it came after Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
That had been genre defining that people just went, oh, this is a bit more like a traditional movie. But it's a great one.
If he did Jackie Brown now,
yeah,
it would get much. Jackie Brown's better than these films.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I've not seen this one, but yeah.
So I give it 6 Mareks. I just think, you know, I always enjoy his films, but it's just, it's a long, old watch for more of the same.
Right. Okay. Well, that's Hateful Eight, 6 Mareks. Have we, you know what?
Yeah.
I think it's time for this little number.
Some people like writing letters, we like reading them out.
Oh, it's such a lovely piece.
It's a lovely piece of music. I never get tired of it. So who's written in, Marek, and what do they want?
A regular writer in, Fran Jolly, has written in. And he's said, in the voice of a royal butler, please.
A royal butler. Good afternoon. Hope you all had a wonderful New Year's Eve and Christmas. It's been a while. I would like to know what films you're both looking forward to and dreading this year. I think you should watch Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, as it was easily one of the best films of last year. I watched Clue again over the holiday period. It has one of my all-time performances in a film, with Tim Curry playing the butler Wadsworth. There is a rumour they are remaking the film, so who would you cast in the main roles? Here is my cast, dream cast, list cast. Wadsworth, Simon Pegg. Mr. Green, Bryan Cranston. Miss Scarlet, Nicole Kidman. Mrs. White, Mindy Kaling. Mrs. Peacock, Amy Poehler. Colonel Mustard, J.K. Simmons. Professor Plum, Tom Hiddleston. And Yvette, Scarlett Johansson. Keep watching the films. Francis, in the voice of Royal Butler, please. Well, that voice got Buddy very excited to go attack Marek.
Yes,
so that was fun.
He's on
so
my chair now.
I hope you were listening during that.
Who is Mindy Kaling?
Mindy Kaling is from The Mindy Project, and she also writes and is in The American Office.
Oh, right, calm down.
She's very good. Clue is a fantastic
film. I haven't seen it.
You haven't? Well, you should see Clue. I put that on your list because it's one of those sort of rare gems of almost postmodern comedy where it is a murder mystery. It's Cluedo the film.
Yeah.
But they do the...
Is Michael Caine in it as Colonel Mustard? Is that right?
I don't know. It's got Christopher Lloyd in it.
Martin Mull.
Martin Mull, okay. Michael McKean, who you may know from Spinal Tap and Better Call Saul, amongst other things. Also, Short Circuit 2. It's a very funny film. It's great. And it's got that multiple endings thing that then Wayne's World did. Recasting it. We should play that for the casting game one day, but after you've seen it, I think, probably.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Has anyone else written in?
Yes, please. Yes, please, they have.
All right. Yes, please. Who's written in, yes, please?
Ben Evans. Oh, Ben Evans, he wrote the song, didn't he?
Yeah.
Thank you, Ben. Here's his letter. Still life. Hey, you guys! Finally, just got round to watching Still Life. An amazingly well-made film. Perfect sound. Brilliant colourist and subtly beautiful story. A long way off of some of the latest stuff from the Disney umbrella. Although, saying that, I watched Save Mr. Banks the other day and actually made me cry. Shh, don't tell anyone. Still Life reminded me of two things. A film called Skeletons, a brilliantly weird film from 2010 about two oddball exorcists. A film that always stays with me, perhaps in a similar way to Still Life. And a computer game called Dear Esther. He said it's not really like a computer game. Well, I'm going to talk about it. So I guess Still Life will stay with me, like two other things. Anyway, thanks for the recommendation. Thanks so much for your kind words about my silly jingle and for playing each week. Keep watching the films. We love the jingle, Ben.
We love it.
We,
Yes, Still Life, for those of you who haven't listened to that episode. Film starring Eddie Marsan, a very sweet and slight British film, but it's well worth a watch.
And Skeletons.
Skeletons, not heard of that.
It's have a look brilliant. I know the people who made it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm friends with Andy Buckley, who's since lost a lot of weight, who plays the big ginger guy in it. And they play two sort of exorcists who go around people's houses and remove the ghosts, but it's really quirky. And Ed Gochen, I can't pronounce his name, who's also a very nice man in real life, he plays the other exorcist. It's like a low-budget British film, come out 2010, and it's thoroughly enjoyable. So I recommend watching Skeletons. I've no doubt you will enjoy it if you want to see something a bit different and a bit of a British film. It's probably on Netflix, but it probably isn't.
I'm just looking it up now to see where you can find it, because I've not heard of it. Is it sort of gone under the radar a bit?
No, it's when that came out, it was really well received. I think it won some awards. It was nominated for a BAFTA.
This app says you can get it from iTunes, Google Play, or Amazon. So there
well,
you go.
It's worth a watch if you want something a bit different.
Okay. Right. Has anyone else written in, or is that the letters?
Wait there. I'm gonna get another one up now. Yeah, someone's written in.
What do they want, and who are they?
It's Rob Scott, and he wants it done in the style of Christopher Walken, which I guess means you.
What does that mean, me? I've not got a Walken on me. Okay, Christopher. God, this is going to be embarrassing. It's because it's an impression lots of people can do.
Yeah.
I've no idea how I do Walken. Well, let's see what comes out. Dear David, Merrick, and Buddy, having completed my New Year's resolution to catch up with Kung Fury Genius, I went on to watch something similar, which was recommended to me, Turbo Kid. Kincaid was a thoroughly entertaining mashup of 80s nostalgia, from genre staples to geeky references and trauma-style ultra-gore, shot in a style similar to early Peter Jackson, Bad Taste, Brain Dead. Its tagline, Mad Max on a BMX, pretty much sums it up, although not quite as tongue-in-cheek as Kung Fury. It nonetheless has a handful of laugh-out-loud moments. Would love to know what you guys think of it if you've got round to seeing it. Afterwards, check out Manborg, an even more OTT homage to 80s ultra-violent exploitation movies, described in a review somewhere as the sort of film that Sharknado wishes it could be. Agree with David that Sharknado doesn't work because they're trying too hard just to make a bad film. Cheers, guys. Happy New Year. P.S. If chosen, please read in the style of Christopher Walken.
I sort of didn't understand most of that email because of the Christopher Walken.
It got in the way, to be honest.
Turbo Kid. I've not seen. I'll look it up.
Yeah. Turbo Kid. What else was I saying? Having a clue. No, Turbo Kid. If you like Kung Fury, you probably like Turbo. And then Manborg.
And Kung Fury's on Netflix now, so you can watch it in its full glory.
If you're on Netflix.
And as you probably all bought it to watch Making a Murderer.
Yeah. So Manborg and Turbo Kid recommended. So maybe track those down. Well, that's enough letters for this week. Now, we're not going to talk about a second film because the Oscar nominations have come out, haven't they, Marek?
Yes. And the nominations are... The Big Short. Bridge of Spies. Brooklyn. Mad Max Fury Road. The Martian. The Revenant. Room. Spotlight.
Is that all of them?
I have seen... Three, four... I've currently seen five of these.
So, you...
I've seen The Big Short, which I'll talk about next week.
Yes.
Bridge of Spies.
Yes.
Unimpressed. Overrated. Brooklyn. Now, I don't understand why they picked Brooklyn
over Carol when they came out at a similar time and Carol was better received, wasn't it?
I think Carol was a much more interesting film.
Right. Interesting. Well, I mean, all these things have sort of They're all politics, aren't they? Like, they're all politics.
And it's exciting to see that they've actually put Mad Max Fury Road on there.
Yeah.
Because really, they don't ever go for action films.
Well, interestingly, as best film, like, I would sort of understand best director, because the ability to film action is a skill, and one that seems to be lacking in most action films. But, no, very interesting that they've nominated it for... I mean, they don't tend to do action or comedy as best movie.
And The Martian's there.
The funniest film, according to the Golden Globes. It won Best Comedy.
It's not... I just really urge you to read the book. The book is a fantastic book. And I don't think the film captures the uniqueness of the book. I've also read Room, the book, before.
Oh, have you?
Which is...
I really want to see Room.
That's the one everyone's saying... is the best. I've heard the rumblings I've heard is that Room is the best of that lot, and I will be going to see The Revenant, and
I tried to go and see The Revenant this week, and I went to the Picture House Central, and stupid me, because of my self-employed comedian's lifestyle, I'm really not used to differentiating between a weekday and a weekend, so I ended up going to a Central London cinema on a Saturday night.
Oh, Dave.
It's my own stupid fault.
Oh, David.
But I tell you what I did see, Marek. I tell you what I did see.
What did you see?
It was sold out, so I didn't get to go, and I had to put my revels back. But what I did see was Eddie Redmayne wandering into the cinema to go and see The Revenant.
Wow.
So he got a ticket. He booked ahead. Clever man.
He's competition.
Yeah, but he was going to a Central London cinema on a Saturday night.
That's crazy.
Weird for me. When he has a film out, that's a bit weird, I think.
It's because Eddie Redmayne has been nominated. His film did not get nominated for Best Film, but he's been nominated Best Actor for The Danish Girl, along with Matt Damon for The Martian, yeah. Bryan Cranston for Trumbo, Leonardo DiCaprio's son for The Revenant.
For the Bear Rape movie.
And Fassbender for Steve Jobs.
Okay.
In the ladies category.
Ladies for Best Ladies.
Cate Blanchett for Carol. Brie Larson for Room,
yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence for Joy, Charlotte Rampling, 45 Years, and Cersei, I can't say it, Ronan for Brooklyn.
So who's got it in your view from that list?
I haven't seen Room.
I saw Joy, though, didn't you?
I thought Jennifer Lawrence, she's brilliant. I thought Cate Blanchett... Her character in Carol is so standoffish.
Right.
And so... what's the word? If you're just you retain all the emotion, quite
stoic.
Yes, that's harder to judge. But there are moments of Carol stayed with me, whereas Brooklyn, I think, is forgettable.
I've heard great things about Brie Larson in Room, and I want to go see that.
I did when I saw. Should we talk about supporting actress? We won't go into. It's a name. A lot. I mean, Carol's been nominated for Best Actress. And supporting actress. And, you know, the Danish Girl's got the Best Actor and supporting actress as well.
Alicia Vikander.
Yeah, so it's odd they've not been nominated for... that Carol's not been nominated for the actual Oscar.
Well, who knows what's happening there. What about Best Director? Who's been nominated there?
Best Director. Looking it up now. Oh, God.
What?
I'm trying to find it on the
is it not
page.
An important category? Is it not quite high
it
up?
It should be near the top.
Yeah.
This is... okay. Adam McKay for The Big Short.
Yeah.
George Miller for Fury Road.
Yeah.
Alessandro Gini Iñárritu for Revenant. Lenny Abrahamson for Room. And Tom McCarthy for Spotlight.
Okay. I don't know Spotlight. What's Spotlight?
Absolutely no idea, but you can go and find out yourselves. I mean, you don't think we're going to tell you everything about films, do you?
This is
that
not,
what you want? Every single bit of information?
This isn't Spoon Feed Fandango.
Oh, I know what it's about. I've looked it up.
All right.
It's about the Boston Globe journalist investigated cover-up of sexual abuse within the Roman Catholic Church.
Sounds like a laugh riot. It's got Michael Keaton and Mark Ruffalo and Rachel McAdams in it. Right, okay. And Stanley Tucci, who's in everything.
Well, that's about it then, isn't it, I suppose, for this
week? Yeah, I mean, the Oscars is the Oscars. I don't think we're particularly sort of suckered into it, are we? I mean, it's a boring TV show.
I just think this year's, from what I've seen this year's lot, it is one of the most disappointing bunch of films in recent years.
Yeah.
I mean, the worst film to ever get nominated was Lincoln, which was awful.
really? No.
It won.
No, the was Gangs of New York, I think, was worse than Lincoln. Oh, okay.
But I don't... For me, nothing I've seen has in recent times has really stood out.
No. No. Well... if you'd like to send us your Oscar predictions, we will be having our Oscar, what do you call it? Competition. Guessing competition.
And what do you win?
You win a certificate, a Film Fandango certificate that you can print out. And you thought that was a shit prize, but then you saw it and you changed your tune, didn't you, really?
Only about three people have won this.
Yeah, yeah.
I think two people won it the first year and then no one really got it right. Yeah. Last year.
So, it's big stakes, guys. Your name will go down in history.
You have to get them all correct.
All correct.
Otherwise, no one gets it.
Best film, best director, best actor, best actress, best supporting actor, and best supporting actress. And if you can get the full six...
And best costume.
Yeah. And best visual effects on a children's animation.
No, just those, the first big six.
And then if you can get those, then you win the grand prize. That's enough for this week.
Yeah, that's
enough. We will be back next week. If you'd like to write to us and send in your predictions or just talk to us about anything else, then please do so. The email address is dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. If you find anything online that you'd like to post and share with our listeners, then do it on our Facebook wall, /filmfandango, or you can just tweet us at filmfandango, at Marek Larwood, or at Mr. David Reed.
Oh, it might be a good idea for your Oscar predictions just to put, just send them in an email called Oscar predictions.
Yeah, that's a good
separate to the letters.
dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Also, we do all of this for free, so if you'd like to contribute towards our running costs, then please go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the links from there. And everyone who has done, thank you very much. We'll be back next week with a special guest.
Oh, keep
watching the
films.
Yeah, nah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.